preaching on a Mother's Day sermon this morning. It is Mother's Day. And as I was studying this week, I come across a video. Because I am a dad, and we have three children that are just about grown, or at least they think they're grown. And I've often wondered, what was it like to be a mom? Yeah, I've been a dad, but you know, unfortunately, us dads, we kind of take a back seat sometimes because moms can be the best friend. Amen. True. The mom is the one that wombed that baby for 9 months. The mom was the one that gave birth to that baby at the end of that 9 months. And mom is what does all the diaper duties. See, I said duties. Mom is the one that does the midnight feedings. Mom's the one that puts band-aids on the boo-boos. Mom's is the one that holds them tight when they've got a broken heart. That's what moms do. And I come across this video, and are we queued up to play it? And so I want to turn these lights off up front. It's just a quick video. But this is kind of what I attempt of what it kind of reminds me of a mom.
Here. Oh, my sweet boy.
Do you have any idea what time it is? Can you say mama? Mama? Mama.
Daddy.
Good boy. Open big wide for mama. Big boy you are. What a big boy you are.
Okay. Now we can't go to church with jelly all over our face, can we?
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord.
Hey, Mom. Mommy needs just a minute. Please.
Hey, Mom. I think you look pretty no matter what. Even when your hair looks really weird.
Mom.
Go straight there.
And come right back.
Beth to marry me.
What'd she say?
Welcome to the family. Hey, Mom.
Where's that pretty baby?
Oh, yeah, nice to see you, too.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, it's okay. You did great.
What's that?
The children. Really great. I always knew you'd be a good dad. But you did. Really. Really good.
Hey, Mom. What are you doing? Of course you are.
Come sit with me.
You know, I was thinking just the other day about what a wonderful mom you are. I mean, God really blessed me with a great lady. You're my mom. You've always been there for me. Even when I didn't want you to be. And nobody ever believed in me like you do. Thank you. I love you, Mom.
And I love you, son.
Pass them out and clean this.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, that was only a 5-minute video, but that's probably just a little bit of what moms have to go through or feel. You know, years ago, in 1971, to be exact, there was two teenage kids who fell madly in love with one another. And they were just kids themselves. I believe one may have been 17, one may have been 18. And I know when I think about 17 and 18-year-olds, I have a 17 and a 20-year-old and a 14-year-old. And I think that my 20-year-old is still about 10 years old. And these two couple, they got married. And they said, we're going to make a go of this thing. And they loved one another. And they struggled because they were working jobs that were paying barely just a little bit here and a little bit there. And then one day, one of those couples went off to boot camp and joined the military. And when he came back home from the military and they were living their life, they bought a house, they were trying to have kids, and the doctor said, you can't have kids. It's just not in the works. You know, both your bodies just don't work right. You can't have children. So I can only imagine, because see, I'm not that old. 1971 was a long time ago. And so they tried, and it just wasn't in God's plan at the time. But then one day, this lady just wasn't feeling right. And I can just only imagine, because, yep, see, I wasn't alive then. Her going to the doctor's office and him saying, I just can't explain it, but it's just the perfect will of God that you're going to have a baby. And this woman had a baby. July the 8th of 1977, she gave birth to her first son. After being told they would never have children. That son's me. 2 years later, July the 26th, she gave birth to a girl, which is my sister. This morning, believe what the doctors say. Amen. Because we serve an on-time God. And in 1971, it just wasn't in his plan. 1972, 3, 4, 5, and 6, it wasn't even in his plan. But something happened in 1977. Amen. And that woman is my mom. Now, my mom was not perfect. Now, Daddy, this ain't a message for you this morning. My mom wasn't perfect, but she did the very best she could. When I had a scrape, when I got in a fight, who was there to always pick up the pieces and put band-aids on? My mom. Who was there when I would get in trouble? I mean, some bad trouble. And I would pray, my mom and daddy's going to kill me when I get home. I mean, seriously, they're going to kill me. And I'd go in there and tell my mom, I said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. But this happened. She said, well, don't kill me yet, because he's probably going to kill me. And to today, don't even ask. Today, they just tell our secrets. But my mom has always been there. And she is still there today. You know, I can be going through something, and I can call my mom. And I can say, Mama, I love you, but I need your prayers. I need you to go to God on this one. Yeah, I'm a pastor, and I'm her pastor. But you know what? At the end of the day, she's still my mom. And I go to my mom and I say, Mom, I need your help. I need your prayers. I'll go to bat for you, son. I've got this one. Let me talk to God. That's a godly mother. Amen. That's a godly mother. She prays for me. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a minute. Now this morning's not going to be a, well, unless God breaks out and tells me to do it, I'm not going to try to jump in these chairs this morning. This is going to be a heartfelt sermon because it's Mother's Day. And the title of my sermon this morning, A Mother Called by God. A Mother Called by God. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have a room full of mothers called by God this morning. We have a lot of godly moms here. And today, men, I want you to look at your wife. I want you to look at your wife. Okay, yeah, no men looking at your wife. That's that lady to your left or your right. That beautiful lady that you married. I want you to look at your wife and I want you to give her some praises today. I want you to give her praises. I want you to wait on that woman hand and foot today. Because she deserves it, Ralph. She deserves it. Because I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter if you're the President of the United States or a janitor at the schoolhouse or if you're anything in between. That woman has a hard job. You know, I always thought as a child, a woman that works from home, she's got it made. Because she can sleep in, she can watch TV, and she can stay up with the kids and play cards. Ooh, did I have that one wrong? Us men's women's got it made. Because see, in the morning times, we can get up and go to work. We can leave that at home. And when we get home, we got dinner on the table. And when we get home, we get to all the goodies at the end. We get to play cards. But you know what? When we get tired, we go to bed. That woman has a hard job. That wife has the hard job. Amen? Because my wife, she washes my kids' socks. Now, if you've ever been to my house, she deserves an award just for washing socks. Because Chandler's socks, you can throw them on the wall and they stay there. What are you laughing at, Blake? Amen. I read something this week, and it made me just think, wow. It says, if evolution is so true, how come mothers still only have two hands? If evolution is so true, how come women only have two hands? Amen. I know we live in 2020, and I know we all have a cell phone, which mine have no idea where it's at. But I can tell you, my wife has two hands, and she has a phone for each hand. And you know, I find it amazing. I watched her Friday as I took the day off, and I was doing things around the house. She's got this phone in this hand, and this phone in this hand. Blake, Chandler, and Alexis is texting her all at the same time on this hand, and Work's texting her on this side. And she somehow manages not to lose it. She somehow manages to get it all done. Yes, our mothers go to bed tired. Our mothers go to bed exhausted. Last night, as I finished up my study, I laid in my bed, and it was ice cold in my house. And I laid down in my bed, and I thought, thank you, Jesus, for a nice warm bed. Where's my wife? Where's my wife? Because, see, I'm a man that don't go to bed without his wife because I can't sleep. Where's my wife? And she's doing this. I got to get this ready. You know what? I need to pray for such and such because I talked to him on the phone. Lord, I ask you, she's doing this. Then she comes in the bedroom. I'm like, you ready to go to bed? Go ahead and go because I got things to do. I'm like, baby, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I got things to do. And she's going just as fast at 1, 2, 2:30 in the morning as she woke up early that morning. This is her all day long. How many moms do we have like that? Amen. A mom's work's never done. A mom's work is never done. A mother called by God submits completely to God's will. Amen? Submits completely to God's will. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Now this morning, we're going to talk about Mary. I thought, who can you talk about in the Bible? And Mary. We're going to talk about Mary this morning. Verse 34 says, then Mary said unto the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now listen, we ain't getting into no education here this morning. But we know how babies come about, amen? And we read on to verse 35. And the angel said and answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Mary was going to give birth to Jesus. Woo! Amen. I'm not going to jump on the chair just a moment. Because Mary gave birth to Jesus. Our Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. When Mary was only a teenager, she was confronted with a challenge to be completely submitted unto God's will. Amen. And you can imagine being a teenager and telling these things by an angel that was going to happen to you. And you're like, millions of things were running through your mind. When Mary was told that she was going to carry a baby, was she stunned? Of course she was. Amen. Mary never wavered for her complete submission unto God's will. And then I got to thinking, how did Mary feel? Was Mary nervous? Was you guys nervous when you was pregnant? Absolutely. I think I was nervous when Becky was pregnant and she would want to eat ice cream. And I didn't want her to do it by herself. So I ate ice cream with her. And when she would get nervous, she would want a bean burrito from Taco Bell at 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want her to eat by herself. The thing about Becky versus me is she lost the weight. I never did. Was she nervous? Certainly she was. Was she unsure of her own abilities? Absolutely. Absolutely she was. Who wouldn't be? Was she anxious about the prophecy that was part of her future that would include pain? Absolutely. I could not imagine being Mary and being told certain things about this baby that you're going to carry. But absolutely. Mary was a little like a mother who sits up late at night, past her bedtime, waiting for her kids to come home from a date. How many times have you done that? Amen. She's like a mother waiting up for her kid to get home from a date from some nasty girl. Amen. Not what do you want? That wasn't you, young lady. She's like a father who's saying a silent prayer. It's like we saw in the video, giving the keys. I'm going to tell you something. I can remember like yesterday when I was 16 years old. I couldn't wait to get home because I took my driving test that morning. I couldn't wait to get home because I'm going to tell you, I got the keys to a Thunderbird. And that Thunderbird was fast. And see, when Daddy gave me the keys to the Thunderbird and said, here you go. Do you know what I put on the radio? Born to be Wild. That's what I played as loud as I could play it all the way to my girlfriend's house. Born to be Wild. Because see, I had all the freedom in the world because I had a car now. I could go anywhere I wanted to go, do anything I wanted to do because I had a car. Amen? Because the car answers all prayers. Wrong. Little did I know the responsibility comes with driving a car. But there's been a many a times when our kids leave, my wife prays, if not every time. Just like the video, when you get that phone call, Mom, I've just been in a car wreck. Prayer. Amen. You pray all the way there. Amen. Mary's like the parent. And like parents in this room this morning. Wanting only the best and the protection for their child. And but fully aware that life happens. Amen. And not all of life is pleasant. Amen. We've been there. Not all of life is pleasant. A mother called by God does not have to be perfect. Does not have to be perfect. Well, Pastor, God's given me this gift of life, and I've got to try my best to be perfect. Being unperfect is how we learn. I read a story about a lady in my studies this week out of Massachusetts. This lady was named Linda Hawkins. She lived in Massachusetts. And her daughter was getting married. And she said, I'm going to try this thing called perfection. Because, see, my daughter's getting married today. And I'm going to put on my dress. And I'm going to have it hemmed just right. I'm going to have it ironed just right. And I'm going to have my shoes all perfect. And I'm going to walk down that aisle. And I'm going to be perfect. Because this is my daughter's day. And I don't want to mess it up. So the lady comes down the aisle. And she goes up. She's going to light the candle. The candle with three. She went to light it. She caught her fingernail on fire. She had long, fake fingernails, and she caught it on fire. And the first thing that came to mind was, I'm on fire. But she didn't want to lose it for her daughter. So she took that finger. And she lit that candle. And then what did she do? She turned around like a six-year-old. She was the talk of the reception. Her and her burnt black fingernail. You're not perfect. Y'all thought I was going real deep with that. A mother is not perfect. Here this lady is, I can only imagine, everything is perfect that day. And she caught her finger on fire. She did exactly what I would have done. Everybody knows at this point your finger's on fire. I got that one for you. She did it just like a six shooter. So she didn't want to ruin her daughter's day. Needless to say, she was the talk of the reception. Despite the fact that she wasn't perfect, Mary, we read in John chapter 2, it tells us when Jesus performed his first miracle. Mary's conversation in the most unusual part of the water turned into wine. How many's read this story? How many's all familiar with this story? Jesus said, and I can only imagine, I wasn't there, but I can imagine the conversation that went on when Jesus got irritated with Mary. Now, children, I want you to focus on what I'm fixing to tell you. Mary was Jesus' mother. We got that right? Mary was his mother. We got that part right? So, in this part right here, Jesus said, Mary, woman, why do you involve me? It's not my time. I got two things. First, children, do not try that at home. Don't come against your mother at home. Don't raise your voice to her. Think of the awkwardness of this situation. Now, I can think of being a pastor, me up here preaching, and my mom standing up and saying something and put me on the spot. That's a woman's cereal. But I thought about that, the awkwardness that it would be. Mary's request in the conversation, Jesus appeared to be out of line with what he said. Jesus was ready to do this. Though Jesus performed the miracle, I wonder, did he do it because he was put on the spot? He turned the water into wine. He performed his first miracle. If that's not a clear indication that what Mary was imperfect and mothers are imperfect, that's a true testimony. We've made mistakes in the past. You're certainly going to make mistakes today. We all do. And you'll make mistakes tomorrow. Through it all, God will love you, work with you, and accept us all. Amen? Through it all, our task of motherhood and grandmotherhood will be accomplished. Because Jesus paid the price. Amen? A mother's work is never done. I got to thinking about the things that my wife does, and my mother-in-law does, and my mom does. A mother has to cook. A mother has to clean. A mother has to sew. She is a fashion expert. She waits on her husband hand and foot. Amen? She does schoolwork and sociology. What was that test y'all did? Statistic test, yet again. She does college work. She works a full-time job, some of you. She is a superhero. She never gets to sleep. Let me tell you something. Every woman in this room deserves a superwoman t-shirt. Amen? Because you guys have a hard job. A mother called by God never relinquishes her title. She never relinquishes her title. We're going to get back to Mary. Kneel and near the cross. I'm going to ask you moms a question this morning. I'm going to get deep. If your son was fixing to be nailed to the cross, how many could just sit there and allow those things to happen? But see, she was already given a prophecy years ago. If that was your son being nailed to the cross, how many would just sit there and watch and pray? Amen? If we knew it was going to happen, we just want it to be over. But most mothers in this room could not even be near the cross, let alone kneel at the cross. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, but his mother did too. Because, see, she lost her son. Amen. She lost her son on that cross. We know the story of Easter. 3 days later, he arose. But I couldn't imagine Mary being with Jesus from birth through his life and having to endure the pain in her heart with her son being nailed to the cross. You will find mothers like Mary in the hallways of Children's Health Care of Atlanta. I know some of these mothers who were up there daily trying to get treatment for their children. Amen. You will find mothers like this in the funeral home. I don't know if you watched the news this morning, but there was a 12-year-old kid got killed at Griffin last night, drive-by shooting. You'll find mothers in the funeral homes. You'll find mothers in the counselor's office. Amen. Standing up for their children. Amen. I've been in the counselor's office myself, me and my wife. And you know what? Thank God for my wife, because she's the one that kept her sanity. As I got up and told the principal and the teacher how stupid they were. Thank God for a godly mother. Amen. What does it take to be a godly mother? Even if your child is a rebellious child, even if it's harsh and cruel to you, even if he or she breaks your heart, you still pray for that child. Amen. Amen. Is a child determined if the mother stops praying? Absolutely not. I can tell you story after story of children who've walked out on families, and moms still continue to pray daily for the children. There is nothing like a godly mother. A mother called by God will always be waiting at the door for their children. Amen. You know, when I go to my mom's house, I love my dad. When I walk in the house, I want to give my mom a kiss on the cheek. Yeah, I call her mama. I kiss my mom on the cheek and hug her neck and say, I love you. Put my arm around my dad and tell him I love him. When I go to my in-law's house, I kiss my mother-in-law on the cheek. Amen. Because she gave birth to my wife. And they're both grandparents to my children. A mother prays for their children night and day. In 1995, on February the 3rd, I walked into a house over on Wilson Road in Jonesboro, Georgia. I walked in and they said, sit down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I sat down and I felt like I was that big in a big old chair. And I remember the love that I felt in that house in just a short minute that I was there. I went on my first date with this beautiful lady. I got back. I shook her hand and said goodnight. We started dating. That woman welcomed me into her house. It didn't matter how I screwed up. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter the arguments that her daughter and I got into. She was always there. She was always welcoming me into her house. And if I needed somebody to pray, she was praying. Because she's a mother. She's a godly mother. She's always been there for me. We haven't always seen eye to eye. She's not perfect. But I know if I call her right in the middle of a storm, she's there. She's praying. Amen. 1998, 3 years later, on August the 1st, I said, I do. And she said, I do. 1998 seems like it was yesterday. I always wondered why my parents say, you need to slow down. You need to go see these people. You need to go do this. Because time creeps up on you quick. And I remember going through certain things with my wife that I don't even know how we're still the same. You know, we lost a child. We found out we were going to have a baby. And we get to that room, we start painting, we start doing this, and we start doing that. But God seemed fit that it just wasn't time. Or God seemed fit something was wrong. But we lost the first baby. And then a little while later, she said, guess what? I'm praying again. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we didn't tell nobody for a while. You remember that? It's like, it's just our secret. Don't tell nobody. And then we told everybody that she started getting a little baby bump. And then we started going to the doctor. And the doctor said, you know what? You have tested positive. Something in your body tells you that your kid could have Down syndrome. Okay. What do you want to do? I said, what do you mean, what do you want to do? I don't do nothing. That's the baby. That's our baby. We heard that three times. Our three children are sitting here today. But I watched my wife as she went into labor that morning on the 30th, on Friday, March the 30th, on Friday morning. She was in labor all day Friday. She was in labor all day Saturday. And then Sunday morning, I thank God for a godly woman. Because when that doctor come in and said, you can go home, I stood up and I told that doctor, me and you fixing to go outside. Come on. Because she ain't leaving here without a baby. Thank God for a godly woman. And your pastor don't have a temper like that no more. But I thank God for a godly woman. Because on that third day, I was on a, it was a Friday, no, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday. That evening, here come Blake. 9 pounds, 14 ounces. Huh? 9-11. It was channel was 10-4. That's where I'm getting for it. 9-11. See, women, mothers remember stuff like that. See, Blake come out, he was born. And then they said he won't eat. I said he won't eat. It's because he's been eating like crazy for the last. I mean, look how big he is. So they said, you're going to have to go home, and he's going to have to stay here. Uh-uh. Thank God for a godly woman. Because my wife says, that baby ain't going. I ain't going. We just hook up camp right here. We got a tent at the house. We'll sleep right here in the neonatal unit. I don't even care. And thank God for godly women. Because here comes this godly woman who was a mother of about 50 who said, I get that baby to eat. That baby was eaten within an hour. We went home. Amen. Then 3 years later, Chandler was born. 10 pounds, 4 ounces. He come out with football. And then Lexi, 3 years later, she was 9-11. But I'm going to tell you, our kids have been sick. Our kids have had to have surgery. Our kids have went through things. Our kids have been in car wrecks. Our kids have been faced with things at school that kids shouldn't be faced with. But thank God for a godly woman. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God for women like you here this morning. I remember when I was working and Becky was at home with Blake. He was probably 2 weeks old. And I had come home from work. And she was just crying. And I said, what is the world wrong? She's just moving, silent. And I said, baby, what was your family? And so all she could do was point at Blake. And I said, baby, I know he's ugly, but I said, baby, what's wrong with you? She said he fell off the changing table. And I said, well, he's fine. He's in there kicking the plane.
And she said, what kind of mother lets your kid call off the church? And I said, baby, you're not perfect, but he's fine. Amen. I remember the next day coming home from work and praying before I opened up the door. Jesus, I ask you, please, let today be better than it was yesterday. And I opened the door, and coincidental enough, my wife is coming out of that baby's room. And she had the biggest smile on her face. I said, thank you, Jesus. And I said, what is it? And she held her finger up like this. And I said, what is that? I said, what is that? What did you say? What did you say? It's just what? It's just sugar. That godly woman had poo on her finger. She had poo on her finger. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's two things I don't do. Poo and the stuff comes out your nose. I ain't doing either one of them. She chased me around the house with it. Now, I know we're laughing here today, but I'm going to tell you something. It takes a godly woman to even let it be on her finger, let alone let it stay on her finger. Amen. We sang a song this morning. And I was thinking about mothers. And the song was, Great Are You, Lord. Great Are You, Lord. And how good God is. Because, you know, medically, it is almost impossible for a woman to get pregnant. It has to be just perfect. It has to be the right time. I mean, everything has to line straight up. Medically, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And I can remember sitting in a parking lot and my wife being so excited that we were going to have a baby. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for a miracle. I said that three times. But I'm going to tell you something. A godly mother, after that baby is born, gives it back to God. Because, see, God's allowed these miracles to happen. But what is it for a mother to do? Give that baby back to God. Dedicate that precious child that He has been so gracious to let you borrow. Give it back to God. Amen. You know, as a child growing up, I put my mama and I put my daddy through pure, you know what. I was not always pastor-minded. I wasn't always Christian-oriented. I wasn't always a good son. I liked to get in trouble. I liked the way it feel. I like to fight. I lost one fight. I got popped in the eye. Very first fight, got popped in the eye. I didn't like that. I went running home. I said, oh, that one hurt. And my mom was like, come here. Let me put some ice on. My dad said, you don't put them like that. You get out there and you beat that boy's tail. That's what daddy does. And I knew I didn't like the way that pop on my eye felt. So the next time, I get the first punch in. And I'm not going to stop until somebody pulls me off. That was the way I felt. I got suspended from school. I got my kids close years. I got speeding tickets. I had to go to court. I got in trouble. I like to try things that kids ain't supposed to try. But amen, I had a mama that didn't stop praying. I had a mama that said,
Lord, I want you to touch him. Lord, I want you to change him. Lord, I need his soul to be saved. Lord, I want you to take over because I can't no more. I'm his mama and all I can do is pray. But I'm going to turn him over to you. Amen. And one day, when it came time for me to come to the altar and ask God to save me, I knew what it was about. I knew because I had a godly mother that taught me, hey, Jesus is the only way. If you confess your sins and get saved, that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. Amen? And by the grace of God, he saved my soul. And then a little while later, I kind of felt this tugging on my heart that morning. And I was like, what's that tugging? What's that tugging? I went up there and I got called to preach. Amen? Then I started preaching God's word. And then I got my feelings hurt. Somebody stepped on my feelings. I mean, your pastor has feelings too. It's hard to believe, but I do. Somebody stepped on my feelings. And I said, you know what? I ain't never preaching God's word. That was just a mistake. I would have called to preach. Yeah, you're right. Don't ever say never. I ain't preaching. That was a mistake. But I also had a praying grandmother. I had a praying grandmother who, what, a day didn't go by that didn't pray for all of her children and grandchildren every single day, night and day. And I remember on her deathbed, I sat up that night, week before she died, 2 o'clock in the morning, reading guideposts. Some of you ladies may know what that is. It's a devotional. I was reading guidepost. Something jumped off that guidepost. She was in a coma. Laying in that bed. She would moan and groan every once in a while. And I was reading that guidepost and something jumped off that page. And I said, huh, I got to find that for myself. I reached over and I grabbed Grandma's Bible. I started reading it out loud. Grandmother told me, stop running. Now, a woman's been in a coma, talking off her head, was sick. Told me, her firstborn grandson, who'd been called by God, who was running from a calling, to stop running. Don't you think God will use a godly woman to snatch a knife in your head? And I looked at her, and I said, Grandma, she didn't say nothing else. And I don't know if she said anything else. But that next Friday, she passed away. Now, there's a little piece of me that went with her. But I was so thankful that God allowed her to speak that to me. Because, see, sometimes as a child, mamas and daddies, we think, don't know everything. Or did we miss it? Sometimes as children, even grown children, think that mom and daddy don't know everything. But they've lived through it. They've got the t-shirt. They wrote the book. And for my grandmother to tell me that, I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I started getting in my Bible. I started studying. My granddaddy, years later, passed away. I did his funeral. One of the hardest things I've ever done. But I asked God for strength. And I did it. I made it. Made it through it then. It all started with a godly woman. Amen? You know, there's some kids in here today. All ages.
You may not have things right with your parents. You may not have some things right with your parents. I'm going to tell you as a pastor here at Abiding Love Community Church on Mother's Day of 2020, do not let another day go by without hugging your mama, without telling your mama what she means to you, without telling her you're right, you've been through it, I'm sorry. Yeah, how many times have I had to tell you I'm sorry for the way I've been? Amen. Because there's going to come a day, unless Jesus comes back, and I'm telling you, I look for him every day. Mama's not going to be there. Amen. Mama's not going to be there. You can't go back and say, sorry, Mama. You can't go back and say, I love you, Mama. Mama, when's the last time that I talked to you and did say, I love you? Because I love my mom. Mama-in-law, when's the last time I talked to you and didn't tell you I love you? Because I love you. Godly one, when's the last time I told you I didn't love you? Even when we argue, even when we don't see eye to eye, I still say I love you. Stand up. I'm going to challenge the men here to do something. Especially you, Charlie. This is the meddling part of the service. The next time you're in your life's arguing, because you know your women's always right. You've never been wrong. Next time you argue, look at that woman in the eye and tell her you love her and that you forgive her. No, you tell that woman that you love her and you're so thankful that God put you in your life. I'm so thankful that God lined this up. Because I want to tell you something. In 1995, in homeroom class, I was a cool cat. And Becky was sitting two rows in, halfway down. And I can remember like it was yesterday. I walked in on Wednesday morning. February 1st. What's up, girl? What you doing? I said, man, look, I got a tight schedule and all. I can squeeze in maybe 2 hours on Friday night, take you out somewhere to eat. What you think? Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Be honest.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. Now, my mom and dad are sitting here, and they can contest this. I'm going to tell you how God works. I had a lot of girlfriends. A lot of girlfriends. But something's different when I walked in February 1st and seen Becky. I looked at her, and I was like, whew. That girl got something that is different. She's beautiful, but like it's there's something in her heart. So I said, because this is what God will, he'll humble you. And I said, hey, come on.
You took him 15 minutes to ask a question.
I said, you want to eat Friday night? So anyway, we went to eat. And I remember picking her up. Now, again, I go to pick up a girl. I'm like, come on, let's go. You know, that's how, that's cool cat. I went up to Becky's house. And they said, come on in and sit down, boy. I sat down. And I can remember our first date. She had a pair of pink bongo jeans on and a white shirt. And I thought, man, that's the beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. I said, you gonna get married? What'd you say?
Beautiful.
Okay, it busts. We'll talk English after. But I said, she's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I said, look, I said,
Can I hold your hand? Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm saved. I had not quite been called to preach yet. And I remember holding this hand, and I said, I'm going to marry this girl. Man, that first date, I was in high school and all, but we're going to get married. But I couldn't tell her that because I don't want to scare her away. And so we dated, and then like year three came along, or year two came along, I said, will you marry me? And I can remember that like it was yesterday. It's been 23 years almost. And I remember getting down on my knee and holding her hand, and I said, baby, I love you. Will you marry me? And she said, yes. And I'm going to tell you something, church. This is a godly woman out here. And there's not a day that don't go by that she don't pray for each and every one of y'all here. On the way to church, she was praying. That's a godly woman. There's not a day that don't go by that as mad as she is at me, she don't love me. She don't pray for me. Because that's what godly women, godly moms do. This isn't just about Mother's Day today. It's about women. Because not everybody in here is not a mom. But you all carry that instinct. You all are always doing for other people. Amen. And children, today, young, I think you're grown or grown, hug your mama today, if it's where you can. Buy your mama some flowers today. Buy your mama a card today, but tell her how much you love her. And men, hold that best friend tight. Amen. Because see, a woman needs to know that she's loved. And a woman needs a hug. Are you taking a picture of me now? A woman needs to know that she's loved. Amen. Now some of y'all ain't got no problems telling her. The brother Hayes over there ain't a doubt in my mind he don't love that woman. Because we need to show it. Amen. Let's all stand.